the boat.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
X-rated stars to hold benefit for Annie Sprinkle.
Now, I'm not familiar with this Annie Sprinkle. I've never seen any of her work.
Well, I think her name is indicative of the type of film.
I bet she knows what that tree smells like.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot more.
You better believe it, honey.
Annie Sprinkle, honey. You know, we had a story about her on the show a couple of months ago that she's living on a houseboat
right
in San Francisco. Well, as it turns out, a houseboat sank.
Oh, the poor thing.
Mm-hmm. So the X-rated porn stars of San Francisco are holding a special fundraising benefit for Annie, which I guess took place yesterday.
All right.
Which is trying to raise enough money to buy her a new houseboat.
That's great. And what porn star doesn't want to live on a houseboat?
And she lost the master copies of all of her videotapes and all of her still photographs from over the years.
Geez.
All went up in flames in this houseboat incident.
Yeah, how can a houseboat catch fire? It's surrounded by water.
Yeah, good question.
Above the waterline, honey.
All right, we're going to call Annie Sprinkle right now. We have her home number. What's up with Ms. Sprinkle?
Hope she did okay with the benefit. I bet that was a...
But that was a wild event.
Probably not wilder than our show Friday night in Sacramento.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Dang it, gonna get a machine.
Happiness is having your own telephone. Yippee! You reach the new studio of Annie Sprinkle at the Headland Center for the Arts.
She was a whore.
The glamorous Golden Gate Bridge. I'm either on the other line, checking email, or out and about. Please leave your message, and I'll call you as soon as I can. And see you Sunday at the Save the Mermaid Fire Show benefit on Father's Day.
Save the Mermaid.
Splash, splash.
All right. Let me leave this message.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah, go into real estate.
Oh, man.
I guess we can hear it again.
David Letterman calling me.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
There he is.
Annie? Hello?
Little Annie Sprinkle.
Annie? Little Annie?
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Same laugh every time.
Well, all right.
Dave Letterman, everyone.
All right, she'll get on with it. Oh, listen, she's telling all her porn star friends.
Yeah.
David Letterman, the famous TV guy, called me.
He wants to be in a porn movie with Pop-Tarts.
All right, let's try the organizer.
Anything more horrible than seeing David Letterman in a porno movie?
Of the...
That's
we'll call
funny.
The organizer of the benefit.
I don't know.
Please.
Of all the late night hosts, who would you?
2559-0069. This is the answering machine for Doctors Carol Queen and Robert Lawrence.
Hello, Joe here.
Please, if you'd like to leave a message for business for Carol Queen and Robert Lawrence, press 1. If you'd like to leave personal...
Please finish your recording now.
These are...
Or hang up to send your message.
Please leave your name, your phone number.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
These are the people putting on the benefit for Annie Sprinkle.
They also getting a message from Dave Letterman.
Your password.
Password?
Password.
I don't have a password on it.
We don't need no stinking passwords.
Hello? Let me try back.
Your old pal Dave. Dave Letterman. And Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
he laughs. You know the dead giveaway that that's not Dave Letterman. It's the exact same laugh every time. Is there anybody else we can call and leave a Dave Letterman? I don't care who we're calling. I think that's funny. Just Dave. It's your old pal Dave.
Hey, Robbie. Why don't you buy your celebrity phone book? We call some celebrities and leave some Letterman messages.
You reach 255-906.
Okay, okay.
This is the answer machine for Doctors Carol Queen and Robert Lawrence. Please, if you'd like to leave a message for business for Carol Queen and Robert Lawrence, press 1. If you'd like to leave a personal message and you know us, please press 2. If you'd like to hear about the Annie Sprinkle... Hello, welcome to mailbox number two. Please.
After the tone, please finish your recording within 20 seconds.
Hey, it's me, Dave. I've been doing some early Christmas shopping, and I came across a gift that would be perfect for the people who listen to your show. Earplugs. Oh, man. You know, sometimes I'm just so funny, I crack myself up.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, let's try some celebrities
you
now.
You know, you haven't called Red Button in
years.
Hold on. Hey, the phone is all...
Hello? The phone is broken again.
Piece of crap telephone. Hello?
Why can't we have a facility like they do in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Hello?
See, lines? It's at line 7 again.
Pesky line 7.
A goddamn line 7. Won't hang up. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Don. How are you? Oh, wait. I think we're almost through. Hi, Don. It's your old buddy, Dave.
Hi, Don.
Charlie, are you on 7 in there?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Don. How you doing? I'm on the other extension.
Hey, it's your old buddy, Dave. I know you're going to ask me which talk show host I would rather see in a porno.
Yeah, of all of them.
Letterman.
Yeah.
Leno.
I'd be most interested to see Letterman in a porno.
You just for the novelty reason, or who do you think would look best in a porno?
See, I don't think any of them really.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Letterman. You know what I mean? Leno's kind of fat.
Conan would look goofy.
Oh, please.
He'd look all, you know, white and pasty, like with a freckled butt.
I'd like to see Andy Richter in a porno, maybe.
He'd probably be the number one choice.
He's comfortable with his own nudity.
Wendell is fixing line 7. It'll be off in a second.
Oh,
and he's got you some sandwiches also.
And he's got you some sambuca.
And he's going to come to your room and wake you up 45 minutes early.
You know that.
Hello? What is wrong with that? Stop it.
All right, your old pal, dial tone.
Damn it. All right, let's see. Who can we call and leave messages as Dave Letterman? Oh, we can call Jethro again.
Ah.
Hi, it's Max. Then we can try, what do you want to call, Red Buttons?
Yeah, you haven't called him in a long time.
Red Buttons, I don't think so.
You can fool him. Who always has a good machine? Hey, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah,
Wesley Snipes,
good one. Also, we can try Dan Dierdorf.
Right.
Let me see. Fabio. We haven't called Fabio's machine in a long
that's
time.
That's nice.
There you go. Let me see. Who else would like to get a call? Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, brother.
Don Johnson.
Oh,
the real life Kenny Kramer.
Ah, yes, Kenny Kramer.
God, he is annoying.
Don Adams. Maxwell Smart.
We got his number.
Thank you. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Hello?
Are we able to use the telephone? That's
no,
the question.
We can't use the phone at all now until somebody fixes line 7. Hello? Not too annoying. Hello, everybody.
That's Dave Letterman's fault.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, buddy. It's your old pal, Dave. I wonder if you would take a request.
Yes.
Yeah. Go into real estate. Oh, man.
There he is.
Those are awful Letterman.
Dave Letterman.
Oh
my God.
Hello. Well,
everybody just tune that out.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Just pretend like that sound's not happening.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy to do. I hear nothing. It's mind over matter, Mike.
That's right. Let's practice Eastern meditation techniques.
I don't hear anything at all, man.
Where is Mr. Wendell? I'm starved.
Hey, Wendell, I thought he was coming right in.
No, he fixed it upstairs.
No, it stopped because I took my finger off the button.
Oh, I was so excited. You gave me so much hope.
Damn it, would somebody please come fix the goddamn telephone?
Wendell says to fix it, he has to go upstairs.
He has to go upstairs to the roof. And
oh,
then,
that's where the sambuca is.
No, he swings by, gets some sandwiches, and then has to fix it up on the roof.
Okay. I don't feel like doing a break now. Fix the phone!
He's gone upstairs to do that for you.
You're like the 10th person that has told me that. Now, thank you, Gadget. It's fixed.
It's fixed. Consider it fixed.
Dang.
That's because Wendell went upstairs.
Right, he went to the roof.
Right, I got you. Upstairs, and he will have sandwiches.
Gotcha. Hello?
Hello?
See, phones work great. Thank you, Wendell. We appreciate it.
Great job, Wendell.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi,
Hi there.
Hi. This is Nov. I was in the Monica Lewinsky contest on Friday.
This is Nov?
Nov. N-A-V. Nov.
Nov.
Hey, Nov.
Hello.
And you know her last name, Aho.
Navajo.
Hi, Nov.
Hi, Don.
A gay tour.
Huh?
Navigator. Yes, hello, Nov.
Nov.
Hi, I just want to thank you guys for coming down to Sacramento.
Navratilova, right. E. Navi.
Yes.
In the Navi. I was just thinking if you put a Y on the end of it, it'd be N-A-V-Y.
Navi. Navi.
Mike had made a little comment after I handed him my cigar that it was glistening like a glazed donut.
I don't believe it was me that said that.
Don said that.
I might have said that.
Was it Don then?
I think so, Nov.
He was the handsome one.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm beautiful. Thank you, Nov.
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know, though, because I was thinking of Rob A. and seeing him on stage with me.
Oh, right. He is the handsome one.
He is the handsome of all of us. The handsomest of
handsome
all of us.
Handsome devil, Rob Spiewak.
And obviously has the favor of Nov.
Is he separated from his wife yet?
As a matter of fact, you want to know something funny? First thing Rob said to me today when he came in, I swear to God, he said, well, my wife's out of town again.
Yes.
Yeah, I went to Sacramento. She's out of town now. We overlapped for about 8 hours.
Oh, fantastic. Where is she, France?
I have no idea.
Hey, do you remember how we laughed when Rob went out on stage to introduce us on Friday night?
Right.
And Mike and I were standing backstage, and all we saw was Rob's big, giant head on those 9-foot video screens. Mike and I about bust a gut laughing at that.
Is those screens for the first time allowed it to be seen actual size.
Thank you, Nov.
Okay, bye.
Bye, baby. Oh, Rob.
Rob, she likes you.
Hey, you have to show that I'm not interested.
She likes you, Rob. No,
she's a very nice lady. I want to get a friendship going with her.
Please. So long, bitch. That wasn't very nice.
I meant it in the best way.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Hi.
Yeah, this is Jay. I'm from Sacramento, and I called you guys Thursday. We're gonna shoot off all of our weapons up here now.
Shoot up, what do you have, like a cannon or something?
I got a 12-gauge shotgun, I got a .357, a 9mm, and a .38.
Well, you should probably call G. Gordon Liddy with that. We only are interested in guys shooting off their cannons.
We like ye old cannons, like the kind of cannons that are shot at the beginning of road races.
All right. You have a cannon there?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. I know this phone's a little staticky, but,
hello?
All right, I'm still here.
All right, go.
Come on.
You all right?
Come on, shoot it. Shoot it real good. I think those idiots are just firing their guns off.
Firing their guns. Calling a radio show, firing their guns.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, it's your old pal Dave.
Hi,
it's your old pal Dave. I've got a .357 Magnum.
Hello there. Well, all right. That line is clear. Let me use this line to call a celebrity.
Very good.
Okay, let's start with Jethro.
All right.
I think it was just a couple of weeks ago that we actually tried to leave a real message for Jethro Clark.
Right.
Or is it Jethro Bodine?
Jethro Bodine.
Mm-hmm. Bodine. All right, well, we'll leave him a message from his old pal Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Dave Letterman. As we work our way through famous Hollywood celebrities.
Hey, it's your old pal Dave. Yeah, here we go.
Hello, this is Max. I'm sorry I'm not in right now, but if you leave your name, your number, the time you called, and a brief message, I'll be sure to get right back to you. Or you can try to reach me on my cellular. Here you go.
La, 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 la.
I got to turn down. La, 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 la.
7-8.
La, 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 la.
7-6.
La, 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 la.
Come on, Max.
9. And have a terrific day.
You may start your message now.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
All right, I guess
there we
can hear it back.
Message okay. Left.
All right, let's go to... about Robert Conrad.
He's probably going to be interviewed a lot with the Wild Wild West coming out.
Right.
The original, James West.
Yeah, how pissed is he? He doesn't even have a walk-on, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Innovative artist.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Hi, listen, you're on the radio right now.
I am?
Yes, we're calling for Robert Conrad.
There's no one here with that name.
All right, thank you, babe.
Thank you very much.
Hey, take care.
Thank you. She enjoyed Dave. See, Dave's infectious.
Wrong number, honey.
Yeah, wrong number, okay. Honey.
All right, are you ready for a real funny one?
Okay. We go.
The Letterman backstage number.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Perfect timing too. Shows in the middle of taping right now.
Right. Remember that time we called and we talked to that stage guy? We
talked to Biff Henderson.
That famous guy. Okay, I gotta tell him they're on the air first. I'm gonna work.
Backstage.
Don and Mike, you're on the air.
Backstage.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
Thank you very much.
They're unfazed. Unfazed backstage at Letterman. They don't. They've heard it all.
That's right. Okay, let's try one more before the break.
Very good.
Okay? Let me see. Jay North, Ted Nugent. Let me know when we had a good one here. Ahmad Rashad. Okay, Snipes. Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. I saw him in Las Vegas with James Woods. They're making some kind of movie together. He's home a lot, though, too. Remember this answering machine, too? Snipes.
If you'd like to speak to
Snipes.
Robbie, has this got the new number?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah, because remember last time we called, he had changed his phone number.
Right.
And Dave Letterman making all kinds of calls.
That's right. Very busy today with his phone.
The new number to leave a message. 310.
Oh,
I deleted it out.
That is 905. You dial up here.
I'm going to be for a little while, and this number will soon be disconnected. So, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. All right.
Snipes.
And
I.
You'll catch up with me. 310.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Now we're going to have Dave leave a message on the voicemail at the other number.
On his new number.
It's excellent.
On Wesley Snipes' new phone number.
Hello, I'm Wildfire, and you've reached the office of...
Snipes.
Please say your full name.
Hey, it's me, Dave.
Please say, put my call through, or take a message.
Take a message.
Okay, first I need your area code and phone number. Oh. Please enter it using touch tones, followed by the pound key.
Okay, all right.
800.
Now leave your message, then hang up or press pound. Go ahead.
The tape's not queued up.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on, wait. The tape is not queued up.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Okay, I'll stop. Thanks for calling.
Oh, no! Okay, all right.
Not fair.
Hold on.
Not fair, Dave.
A damn tape.
Dave loping over the machine.
All right, hold on.
All right.
Wes Snipes.
All right.
Hold on, the tape is still not queued up. What is this on, a 5-minute cart?
Okay, got it. Okay. Takes a long time.
It does.
As you can tell, the WJFK studio, completely digital.
Hello, I'm Wildfire, and you've reached the office of...
Snipes.
Please say your full name.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave.
Please say, put my call through, or take a message.
Put my call through. Take a message.
Take a message.
I'm sorry. Press 7 for put my call through, or 8 for take a message. Okay. First, I need your area code and phone number. Please enter it using touch tones, followed by the pound key.
Ask for S.
Now leave your message, then hang up or press pound. Go ahead.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
Got it. Hang up or press pound to send it. Otherwise, to hear your message, press 1.
Oh, good.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
Hang up for Chris Pound to send it. I'll see that he gets it. Thanks.
Okay, that's great.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. We've got to remember to do that again. Oh, man, that's great.
Oh, we really do.
Oh, I'm getting an ice cream headache now.
Hey, pal. It's your old buddy Dave.
Dave Letterman.
This is the dawn of...
Oh, the weekend? I lost my cell phone, and there is nothing that is, outside of losing your wallet, or losing all your credit cards and your driver's license, nothing more maddening than losing the cell phone. And I want to say to whoever has it, I hope you got your nut off, because I'm positive that you, like, called sex lines in Denmark on that card this weekend.
Sure.
That's a bitch.
So you carry yours with you all the time? Is that what you do? Yeah.
Yeah, even though nobody ever calls me.
Right.
I carry it with me. Now, I don't have one of those queer pocket things.
Where it's clipped to your side.
I don't have one of those.
Hate that.
But as it turns out, I should have had one of those, because I just carry it in my pocket. And sometime on Saturday...
You have it on vibration function, so if somebody does call you, it's a good feeling?
I don't have a vibration
function. Oh, you don't have a vibration
function. However, mine is like yours. I have the queer ring, where it goes... Doesn't just ring, it like plays his little faggy song. But I carry it with me always,
right.
And I guess sometime on Saturday when I was fishing or doing something else, I lost it and didn't realize it until yesterday.
Did you report it stolen?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
But not until, I figure I lost it on Saturday.
Right.
And because I was positive that I hadn't lost it, I just left it somewhere.
Do you think it might have fallen out of your pocket when you were killing fish or something?
I don't know.
It
could have been anything. I went a lot of places this weekend, did a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I had the kids, my son and his friends, and
right.
my wife, and my in-laws. I had everybody. I was positive that I had just left the phone either in the car
right.
or in the house.
So you had the full, the hard target
yeah.
search of every hen house, outhouse.
Yeah. Absolutely, Tommy Lee. All the way around. And then, my wife said to me, she said on Saturday, she said, you better call them and tell them that you lost the phone.
Right.
And I said, honey, I want to tell you something. I mean, I gave her a super lecture where I said, listen now, that phone, always right here in my pocket. I'm never more than a moment away.
Oh, guys, all men are the same that way.
Yeah.
They really are as far as I... Look, I know exactly where I said it.
That's
down.
What I said. I said, first off, I wouldn't have gone out on the boat wearing the loose-fitting pants with the phone in there. So I know I didn't lose it on the boat.
Right.
Second, did you pick up my phone by mistake? Because I tried to turn it around on Frida right away.
Sure.
So she goes to her phone, because we have phones that are just alike, but she has like a girl sticker on the back of her, like a sticker of a flower or something.
A little pink flower.
She goes, no, I've got mine. So then I said, well, you know what? You must have picked it up and put it somewhere, because I'm positive. I want to tell you something. I mean, I really laid it on her where I said, I don't lose phones. I never lost a phone in my life. Don't call, because that phone will turn up.
Right.
So we waited all afternoon Saturday. All Saturday night, again.
When you were looking for it, at any point, did someone suggest calling the number on the phone so that you could find it because it would be ringing?
That's an excellent idea, but nobody did.
Oh.
Nobody thought of that.
And that, have you thought about calling the number at any time?
No, because now I called and canceled it.
Oh, okay.
I waited, though. My wife thinks I'm an idiot because I was so positive I didn't lose it. She said, you should call again Saturday night. She said, just call them and cancel it.
Right.
Some guy is like calling Denmark. And I said, honey, it'll show up. Don't worry about it. Sunday, we get up Sunday. She says, you still didn't find the phone. Call and cancel.
Oh, absolutely.
She says, I'm going to call and cancel. I said, listen, it's my business. It's my life. The phone will turn up. Let me do it. So we get Sunday, all day, all night. Finally, Sunday night. I sheepishly have to go to my wife and say, honey, what's that number where I call to cancel the phone? And as soon as I called and canceled the phone, the first thing that the person on the other phone, Nokia helpline, I said, yeah, I think I lost my phone. Fine. When did you lose it? I said, sometime yesterday. She goes, I get this. Oh. From the lady on the Nokia line. She goes,
you should have called immediately. Oh, dear.
I said, well, I'm positive that I didn't lose it.
So then had to go through a whole big rigmarole about what might happen if somebody made the calls, and did we buy the insurance? Mm. And of course,
I didn't know that, and they make it that tough for you.
You know, I never do that. When, it's like when I buy a TV or something, or a microwave, they say, "Do you want the warranty?" I always go,
sure.
You know, hell no.
Forget it.
Just give it to me.
Forget about it.
So now I'm without phone, and that is that's awful when you're used to having it to not have it.
No, I mean,
and
it's, part of you.
Huh? I hate thinking that some bastard out there's got my phone.
Some guy's got his greasy little fingers all over your phone, calling all sorts of lines.
Not to mention the fact that I've got all your guys' phone numbers programmed into that thing
Put in automatically. Wow. So you never even at this point, you don't have any clue where you might have set it down.
No. I'm still convinced I didn't lose it. But apparently the world is begging to differ with me. So, you know, that crushed me all weekend.
Right.
Really, I mean,
sure.
I was mad about that.
Easily replaceable item, though.
Yeah, easily replaceable, but it was my lucky phone. You know how I am with things.
I understand.
It's like, I got something, it's my lucky whatever it is. Now I'm convinced the world's going to crash around me because I don't have my lucky phone.
Well, the next one you get one of those clips so you can clip it on your belt like those guys do.
Never.
Never!
Never. Those guys look faggy.
I hate those things. I especially hate them on a golf course when I see him on a golf course.
Okay, so we get through all this crap with the telephone. It's about 4 o'clock yesterday, and the kids all say to me, we want to go see Star Wars.
Again.
Yeah, well, now I've already seen it, but, you know, none of my family's seen it. None of these kids that were with have seen it.
That's the prime demographic, too, for that movie, is the kids that age.
So, here we go, Star Wars. Now, I immediately, because I'm still believing that the movie's going to make $600 million,
right.
I say to the kids, there's no way we can even get tickets for this movie.
Right.
So I tell you what, let's not go to the theater first. I'm going to call the ticket phone number.
Right.
And then they'll tell me it's sold out, and then we'll find out what else we can do.
Okay.
Well, I call up, and they got the automated
Star Wars 4:30 tickets available.
So, like, I'm amazed, right?
Oh, you're very fortunate,
think. Kind of disappointed, though, because I thought for sure it would be sold out, but it wasn't sold out. So we get the tickets, and we go to the movie.
You're reaping the benefit of that $40 million shortfall right now. You know?
Yeah, right, absolutely I am, right. So we go to the movie, and it sucks.
Right.
The movie sucks just as bad the second time as it did the first time, except I think that maybe I'm going to be able to notice other things in the movie, because the first time I went to the screening where, like, people clapped when the Lucasfilm logo came up on screen.
Mm-hmm, right.
People clapped when R2-D2 came on and all this stupid stuff. Well, no one was doing that in this theater.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is a problem, and I got into an argument with a woman in the theater because the movie theater was packed, just about sold out, lots of people with kids. Kids that were, like, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how little kids want to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, even in a movie like Star Wars, even if I've seen the movie already and I already know it sucks, I don't like little kids talking through the whole movie.
Well, 3, 4, and 5, I think six is a little young to go see that.
Well, there were kids in this movie, and not just one kid. I mean, like, 100 kids. In the very beginning of the movie when they're, I tell you this part, that they're, like, underwater. It's real fakey underwater stuff.
Right.
They're flying the ship underwater. All the kids start going, water, water, water. Look, mommy, water. Look, it's city, mommy, water. Water, city. It's a city in the water, mommy. Look, Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. Mommy, look. Oh, laser sword. Mommy, look, 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 look. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar. Well,
and those are the 18-year-olds.
This is going on. Finally, I turned around, and I just gave the woman the stare, right?
Right.
Just gave her the look. She just looks right back at me, and while she's looking at me, she's talking to her kids. She's saying, yes, that's right. Yes, they're underwater. I mean, they're having an out loud conversation. So I keep giving her the hairy eyeball. She keeps talking to her kid. Finally, I said, ma'am, do you mind? We're all here to watch the movie. And then at this point, this is what this lady does. This is the Reston Town Center. This lady says, she stands up, she goes, excuse me, because I had security guards in this theater,
right?
She calls the rent-a-cop over. And she says to the rent-a-cop, this is while the movie's going on.
Right.
She says, this man is bothering us. Now, this is while the movie's going on. Meanwhile, now everyone's looking at me. And I said, well, listen, this lady's talking to her kids. Her kids are talking throughout the whole movie. The rent-a-cop looks at me and goes, kids like Star Wars.
Right?
So I lose the battle. The rent-a-cop leaves. Everybody gives me a dirty look. And at this point, then my kid and his friends, they say, we want some snacks.
Right.
So I think, okay, it's a great opportunity to make the hell out of this movie. I'll go wait in the line, get you some snacks. I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely to the people at the Reston Town Center. I am not goofing when I say, Why do you have retarded people working at your concession stand? And I don't mean I'm saying retarded like a goof.
Right.
I'm talking like, Warren, have you seen my baseball retarded?
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God to you, there are actually mentally challenged people
right.
that are working behind the counter. And during the most business this theater is going to do all year long,
mm-hmm.
I'm standing in this line, I'm going, why is this taking 20 minutes to get four sodas and four popcorns? Well, I realize why when I get up there. When the guy, I say to the guy, I'd like four Pepsis and four popcorns, please. And the guy goes, okay. And he turns around, and then he looks back to me, and he goes, what did you want?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the guy looks retarded.
Yeah.
And he was not the only guy that was retarded looking working at this concession. And I couldn't say anything, like, you know, what are you, retarded? Because
right.
I thought the guy really was retarded.
You weren't sure, though.
No, I'm sure he was retarded.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to hurt his feelings by saying,
right. Are you retarded?
Are you retarded?
It's an interesting right. dilemma.
Okay.
It's been my experience that the normal average teenagers sometimes move actually slower than anybody. Oh. I mean, it's kind of standard procedure that anybody, if they go into that job, mentally challenged or not, just moves at a different, well, you know, nobody moves at lightning speed.
And I know what you're saying.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is a goof, and I'm telling you, the theater I went to, Reston Town Center in Reston, Virginia, concession stand on the second floor by
right.
Theater 13, those people, of the five people, two of them really
were challenged,
were retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I'm all for retards having jobs, but I don't know why they have to have jobs.
You sound like Matt Dillon in Something
well,
About Mary right now.
I don't
now.
Mean to. I don't know why they have to have jobs where there's such pressure involved,
mm-hmm.
with people wanting to simply get the food items.
Right.
This guy, you know, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
he could not process
right.
one friggin' thing.
Mm. Okay.
So it was just very frustrating. It was like...
Very, very difficult.
Not a good day, man.
Very, very... But and you didn't enjoy the movie anymore the second time either.
No. The movie... Oh, I bet the people at the concession stands would enjoy the movie. No, I didn't enjoy it anymore the second time.
Right.
And I was able to figure out to translate some of Jar Jar Binks' jokes. Here's one of the jokes that I didn't understand the
right.
first time. When he bumps into Liam Neeson, and he says, excuse me, you know, like Wayne's World.
Sure.
Instead of saying, excuse me, he says, excuse me. And when he says this, the place just, everybody belly laughs like it is the funniest joke
sure.
they'd ever heard in their life.
People are dying to be entertained, Don.
Right.
People are dying to be, they're wanting to like that movie.
Movie's ridiculous. movie's just ridiculous. Lady yelled at me and called a rent-a-cop over because her kid was talking in the movie. Then I go out there to get the stuff, and I swear to God, I got a retard working behind the counter.
It was very, right. very stressful.
Oh, it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I get back with all the stuff, you know, the kids right away go, my son goes, Dad, where were you for so long? Like, I don't want to say anything.
Right.
You know, if it was just my kid, I would say something like, you know, there's a retarded guy working behind the counter.
Right.
I didn't want to say anything. I went, well, the line was very long. Where you been so long? The line, shut up. The line was very long.
You don't want to say it too loud. They'll call another security guy.
Right. That's right. But just mark my words. If you go to that theater.
Right.
Second floor concession.
Right.
Two of them up there. You know, they should sweep the floor or something. You don't have to put them behind the cash register.
Okay. God.
Listen, I mean that.
I know you do.
They slowed down the whole. Man, you know, how tough is it when you go up there and you go, I'd like four Pepsis and four Popo, and I'm not the only person that's having this problem.
I see. I have a theory. You can put a Rhodes Scholar into the theater concession business, and by the end of the day, they might be working at a very high rate of speed when they first go in there, but their second or third day working in that theater, they're going to be working in reverse. I think the highest IQs in the world, there is something that happens to everyone when you go into a movie theater where you actually go into a...
I know what you're saying, but
right.
I'm telling you, go to the theater, go to the second floor concession stand, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
These people are qualified, and how tough is it?
I'll be there this evening.
How tough is it? Four Pepsis, four popcorns. Guy looks at me like I said, please recite the Declaration of Independence. The guy, and then when he goes up to the cash register,
right.
he has to call somebody over to go, four Pepsis. And I'm looking over the cash register, and I see, they got it, like, so that... An idiot could figure out, it says Pepsi, they got right. the little logos.
Right.
So all the guy has to do is push on the pretty Pepsi logo, but the guy couldn't figure out which logo to press.
Well, probably a lot of people in there playing with their fingers, too.
Oh, boy.
You know?
No, I'm just telling you, that's a bad theater to go to a movie, too. That was a bad experience yesterday. Very bad.
Bad. Very bad.
Very bad. And then after that, I've got one more thing to tell you about the weekend. After that, went home, sitting down, all the kids are gone, thinking, gonna chill out now, gonna watch the 60-minute show. And that is when my mother-in-law decided to watch 60 Minutes with us. And last night they did a Y2K story on 60 Minutes.
Your mother-in-law in the house.
In the house.
There you go.
In the house.
In the house.
My mother-in-law absolutely panic. Because they did a show last night on 60 Minutes.
They right. did the alarmist show of alarmist shows.
They did a show that was based on the District of Columbia.
Yes.
In which I don't live. My mother-in-law doesn't live. Nobody in the family lives in the district.
Right.
But, as my mother-in-law pointed out, I'm only 12 miles from the District of Columbia.
Yes, and they centered on the District of Columbia as the Y2K, the disaster epicenter.
Mm. They made Y2K sound like you're going to have rioting, you're going to have martial law, you're going to have the National Guard called out,
right.
you're going to have no water.
Yeah, they really, and the lady that is doing most of this panicking is the lady that's hired to fix all the Y2K problems that they have in the district.
That's right. And it was just after everything else I'd been through that day, that was the last thing I wanted to hear.
You didn't need a panic?
When my mother-in-law says, how late is Walmart open?
Oh.
And I said, it was 7:30. I said, I don't know. I say, why? What do you need? Water. She says, that water you drink all the time, that Evian, how many bottles are in a case of that? She wanted to go to Walmart
right.
last night to start buying water for Y2K. And the more I was talking with her,
right.
I'm getting all worked up again about this. I realize I'm getting in a debate with my mother-in-law about Y2K, and I'm saying to her, listen,
she does have 3 or 4 months to get that water.
I said, Grandma, you are the target audience
right.
for 60 Minutes. You know, I'm trying to find a nice way to say, listen, they make the show for older people like you, and they make it like this to scare you older people.
Time to panic.
Oh, my God. She was nuts. I mean, she seriously
wanted you to go to Walmart in the middle of the night to
to get her water.
Oh, my God.
And then she started saying, like, well, how much money are you going to take out of the bank? I said, I'm not going to take any money out of the bank. The banks are safe. She said, well, no. District of Columbia. I said, Grandma, I don't live in the District of Columbia. She said, well, they said that they might be rioting at the Safeway.
Oh, my
Grandma,
God.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
They have contingency plans. Yes, they do.
It was just nutty.
It's the, you know, I don't blame
Thanks,
them.
60 Minutes.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Grandma. I blame 60 Minutes for this. Big Frieda's not at fault here. It is 60 Minutes for pandering to all those people that are freaking out. That's going to make more of those survivalists stock up and, you know, with their freeze-dried food and their shotgun shells.
You know who's going to survive?
Who?
The retards that work at the movie theaters.
Oh, God.
And Cher. They'll make it through anyway.
Cher will make it through, too.
Okay. So that's all I had. That's all I had. Fortunately, I was able to watch the Michael Landon movie last night.
That back down to a peaceful mode.
That mellowed me right out.
That made my weekend, too.
It mellowed me right out.
Michael Landon being a nasty father. Wow.
That was
who'd
the TV.
Who'd have thunk it?
This vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Buzz, do you have the story about the dolphin that raped a guy?
No, I don't.
Oh, then I'm glad to bring this to your attention.
A dolphin raped a man?
This is from Oslo in Norway.
Okay.
The top-selling daily newspaper in Norway has quoted a 28-year-old man as saying a dolphin mistook him for a female after swimming alongside him in the sea off South Norway. The dolphin's penis got caught between the man's swimming costume.
That's what I wear when I'm at the beach, a swimming costume.
The dolphin's penis got caught between the man's swimming costume and his legs.
Oh, dolphin-rific.
Before the man managed to climb back on his boat. Quote, the dolphin shoved me forward 2 or 3 meters before I got loose. At first I thought it was his fin. But dolphins don't have fins on their underbellies.
Oh, dear.
A friend of the man, a diving instructor who saw the dolphin rape attack, told the newspaper the dolphin tried it with me, too. But I was wearing protection, a wetsuit.
Ah, always wear a wetsuit when you're about to be raped by a dolphin.
I love the dolphin rape story.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Okay,
the dolphin and the man are doing fine?
Yeah, the dolphin left.
Ah, he left. Yeah, we're going to look for maybe his own species.
Hopefully.
hopefully.
No, the dolphin was not Dan Marino.
Oh, okay.
Stop it.
I didn't know.
Okay.
Mahatma McCormick is actually.
Let's hear a little more Tim McWilliams. Because after I hear the original stuff during the Redskins game, I think, okay.
Right.
That was a funny joke for the first commercial. So,
mm-hmm.
So once again, you know, we're getting ready for the game, and I say, coming back, Redskins and the Buffalo Bills. We'll be right back on the Redskins Radio Network.
And then we go to commercial. This is what I hear.
At the tone, now there's 3 minutes left in the break.
I'm going to hear the exact same tape again.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, I'm going to hear the long breeze.
Running with the devil.
With a different variety of Tim McWilliams singing classic rock.
He knows the lyrics. Fantastic.
Woo! Running, uh-oh. At the tone, we're down to 2.5 minutes left in the break. Cat Scratch Fever.
I would tell you, by the 10th time I heard this during commercials...
Oh, I can imagine it got a little tedious.
I was ready to pull my hair out.
Got a little rough.
Cat Scratch Fever! Yeah! Cat Scratch Fever! Cat Scratch Fever! Cat Scratch Fever!
But there's a different variety of song coming up.
2 minutes left of that break.
To Bob O'Reilly.
Out here in the field, I fight for my meal. I got my back into the minute.
Here is the man of the moment.
Secret.
Bravo, Tim McWilliams.
Yay.
Bravo. Fantastic.
Who
effort.
Knew that you had this in you?
Listen, do you want my autograph now, or should we wait until after the podcast?
I have no idea that you have this hidden musical talent,
How
Tim.
How do you think I make it? On the street, people ask me all these years, hey, man, what's your secret? You sing to them clients, baby. They give you money. One reason or another.
Now, were you drunk when you did this?
No, I was calling, stone sober in Chris's production studio, and he said he needed something interesting. I said, Chris, I don't know if you know, but I can sing. And he's a believer now.
Oh, we all are, Tim. That's truly a masterpiece.
Cracked me up, Tim. Now, did you do this without a lyric sheet?
Absolutely. It was a while before I, got the words back. As a matter of fact, it's questionable whether I even got them back. But
you lean towards a classic rock type before.
Well, you know, I am 44. I mean, yes. That is my roots, and the whole scheme really did come from Chris. He had the whole concept, and he dragged
back
me.
Back in the days where you were a roadie for Bob Seger, right?
Well, actually, I was more of a Motown. Respect was my best one, didn't you think, Don?
Oh, I'm getting to that.
Yeah,
hold on.
I mean,
Tim.
That's really the other ones were outtakes.
Man knows his hits, doesn't he?
Okay, here we go. Let's get back. Don't leave, Jim. Stay right here.
At the tone, 1.5 minutes left in the break. There you go.
Hey, here we go. Here's the
root.
He's into it.
That's it. The root. What you want? Baby, I got it. What you need? No, I got it. No, I'm asking from you, baby. Respect. Just leave it. Just leave it.
Oh, we're getting some live Tim here.
Just leave it.
Oh my God.
What's next, Tim?
Only 1 minute left in the break.
1 minute left in the break, I tell you that.
Rebel, rebel, your place is a mess.
This is not my
rebel,
strength.
Rebel,
I gotta have the most out of
it. Oh, I think it is your strength, Tim. He's getting. He's doing scat.
And the next one, I think, is Jailbreak, right?
I love you so. At the tone, 30 seconds left in the break. Tonight is gonna be a jailbreak. Somewhere in this town.
Oh, my God, this
Being
is great.
The boys, we don't like it.
Oh, man.
You
pumped up the broadcast, isn't it?
I don't know, I'm moving right to left.
We were happy the first time we heard it.
At the tone, just 10 seconds left.
I know there's no more singing.
Oh, my God.
No more singing.
Tim McWilliams, way to go.
Tim, is that a new haircut you have today? Come back and tell us about your haircut today.
I decided to take it down a notch. You know me with trying this and trying that.
We
went through the dye syndrome. It didn't go over real big on the street.
I don't think I've seen a nicer haircut since A Clockwork Orange was made by Stanley Kubrick. That's just a little joke. Come on, Tim.
All
you
right,
know,
I kid because about I my love. Hair. All right. A little sensitive about my hair. But yeah, I cut a little short.
It's very roosterish.
It's terrific. It does. It stands up at the top. But you
are
know,
you going to be appearing this weekend in The Last of the Mohicans?
It was very nice. I know you guys are busy, so listen, I got to go.
How you get along with upper management, Tim?
They treating you okay, Tim? Are you planning on any...
How you doing with Alan and Ken?
Changes in lifestyle?
Alan's just a great individual to work for. You know, we went through that last time, Don. And he's a beautiful individual. I know he's sitting there listening. So, he's a great guy to work for. Ken, I don't see that much.
Uh-huh.
I don't see Ken that much.
But you get along when you see him now?
I understand at the ratings party last month that there were some words exchanged between yourself and Ken Stevens.
Well, I think that was a little exaggerated. I think Ken asked me... what was my performance out of... I know what it was. I know we had the sheet on the board, on the side of the wall where you have to sign out.
These poor salespeople, listen, they have to sign out. They treat them like slaves. The salespeople have to write on this big piece of paper, on a bulletin board for everybody to see...
Where they're going
to
be.
What time they come in, what time they leave, and where they're going to be
right.
at all times during their work day.
Right. And, I mean, during a new Tim period, of course, I filled it out, and you saw 7, 8, and 9 calls a day. Well, of course, the new Tim thing went by the wayside, thankfully, and it went back to the old Tim. Well,
which means you don't want to have anything to do with that board. You just get your results, and that's what speaks for where you're going to be.
You've been there, right?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
So Ken one day saw that, and it was the day before the party, and he said, "Hey, Tim, I see no calls up. Does that mean you're not hitting the streets?" I said, "Ken, the day I don't hit the streets is the day I retire, because that's how I make my money." And he was questioning on my work ethic. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Ken. Anytime you want to match me on the street, bring a lunch. Bring a second pair of shoes, because I intend to wear your corporate face right out." That was about the way it went.
I'm giving you a round of applause for that one.
I heard that there was a discussion about your work ethic, and that you got your panties in a wad, and you left the party.
Say, people say a lot of things about you, Tim, as you know, but I'll tell you one thing. That you would be the last person here that anybody would say anything. I mean, you really are here. Why do you think he said that? Do you think he said that because he didn't know you? I mean, or what?
No, I think he was just picking at me. I think Ken and I are... I think he respects me, and I'd like to think that he likes me, but that may be going a bit far. But he did give me his computer.
He did?
Yeah.
What, his old computer?
Well, a black one. It was sitting behind his desk. I walked up to
the laptop?
No, not the laptop. That's sacred ground, Mike. That's sacred ground.
Yeah.
But the one that was sitting behind his desk, the ones that he gets the ratings in on.
Okay.
I walked in one day. I said, "Mr. Stevens, I got a deal for you you can't refuse. You buy me a computer, and you set any number for any month, any quarter, whatever the agenda is, and I'll match it or beat it, and if I don't, I'll buy the computer." So with that, he turned around. He said, "Take that one." I said, "Done." I came back up and pulled the extension cord. His phone lines out. His phones went dead on the spot. Pulled that out and got that thing out of here before he had a chance to change his mind. Sitting on my cubicle right now.
So you did not get in a fist fight with Ken at the party?
No.
Did you leave the party in a huff, though? Were you upset?
No, it was...
Because that's the way it was relayed to me. It was relayed to me. You just missed. Ken had a scene with Tim.
We thought you might be going home to call your friend Sammy the Bull. You didn't do that? No.
Sammy's a little undercover right now. He's a little tough to get, but no. Ken and I were fine. In fact, he invited me into a pool game, but I did, just bowed out.
Okay.
And,
so it wasn't as bad.
Nice.
Hey, you know what it was? It was that feeding frenzy, too, with anything happening.
Yeah.
They would all prey upon each other.
So you did know Sammy the Bull when you were a young man?
Oh, he's passed me on the street, but Sammy the Bull was untouchable. I mean, he was the guy in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He just didn't, there's certain people you didn't even have
any contact with.
No, you don't even walk on the same side walk with them.
Really?
I mean, it's the stuff that you read in a book is absolutely true. I mean, they had their own domain and you didn't mess with it.
You ever get shaken down by mafia guys?
No, actually, it's funny thing about the mafia neighborhoods, they're actually very safe neighborhoods, except if you happen to cross them, then you end up, dead.
Right.
But aside from that, there's no littering, there's no stealing cars, there's no stealing grandma's wallet. That's not going to happen. They're actually very safe neighborhoods, except for, bullets, getting in the way of bullets every once in a while.
You ever run numbers?
Oh, no. I'm squeaky clean. Squeaky clean, Don. You know that. Squeaky clean.
Yep. Sorry. Thank you, Tim. It's always a pleasure to speak with Tim McWilliams.
You know, there's a lot going on there that we don't get to tap into underneath.
You could do 3 hours of interviews, and if he was being totally honest, you might find some interesting things happening.
I've heard some stuff about Tim
McWilliams.
Kind of a wild man.
Yes, absolutely.
And I heard maybe that, he's mobbed up, or he's been mobbed up in the past.
A little connected, Not made, of course, with the name McWilliams. That wouldn't happen, but,
Forget about it, Mike.
You read all those books, Don, A lot of the Irish guys are the guys that do the real nasty stuff.
And you know, I came this close to seeing that Hugh Grant movie, the Mafia movie.
Forget about it.
I watched the first 5 minutes of it, and I ended up walking out and going to Teaching Mrs. Tingle instead.
You didn't you didn't watch any of it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it looked so funny.
It looked gay. Really, the first 5 minutes, what you've seen in the ads?
Right.
That's it.
Oh, man.
Forget about it. Forget about it. We went to see Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
How was Mrs. Tingle?
Kicked ass.
Really?
Great movie about an evil teacher who gives all the kids bad grades.
She's a great actress, that lady. I'd like to see that movie.
So they take her and they break into her house and they got one of those big bow and arrow things. And they
a crossbow?
Yeah, they shoot her and they end up tying her to the bed.
Mrs. Tingle.
And Hank Kingsley's in the movie.
Tambor.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor.
Tambor, buddy.
That's a good movie. We will come back. People backing out, or it's just people praying on poor challenged Mike E. Rockhead.
Who seems to be having one of his down days.
Yeah.
His mood does not seem elevated. Why is he down?
You know why he's down? He's down because he lost in fantasy football.
Okay.
He's down. He has said to me, maybe conservatively, 100 times today, he said to me, I just can't believe it. Score 104 points, still don't win. And you know, and I'm shedding no crocodile tears because right. Bart was the winner this week. Bart was the big prize winner. I'm happy for him.
Who is Mikey Rockhead teamed with? Who is
Larry Michael?
Oh, really? Larry did all the work. And Mike, well, you know, Mike, you weren't there at the draft, so what does it matter?
Right. Well, that's what he's bummed out about.
Really?
I said, well, listen, let my kid enjoy it. He won the goddamn thing.
Can't believe it, man. You think you score 104 points, you could win.
And every time I go back to see, are you answering the phones for the nude feud? He's looking at the stats from fantasy football.
Yeah, he's wandering around. Just has kind of a hangdog. You know, looks like he's depressed. You think it's just fantasy football, or do you think there are other reasons why he's depressed?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's put him under the microscope.
Oh, that's good. What I want.
Hey, Rockhead. That's my guess, though.
I love it when Rocket comes to the studio. I don't know why, because it is highly unpredictable. You never know what's going to come sure. out of his mouth.
It's been a long time since we have someone that's universally hated by most of our listeners, as people seem to be uniting in their hatred of Mike Rocket.
Remember that caller earlier? It said, thump him. Thump him. And also, he takes a while getting in here. Just take
here
your time.
Here he comes.
He did seem down today.
Here he comes. Mr. Baggy Shirt.
You're having a down day, aren't you?
A little.
Why? Okay, why are you down, Rockhead? Why?
Well, it's not really fantasy football, but you're right. I am bummed about that.
I knew it was something else.
Because we were playing Bart. It's not like I wanted the overall. We were also playing Bart, so I was bummed about losing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let the boy enjoy his moment.
But if that's not the real reason, what are you bummed out about today? Girlfriend problems.
Oh, really?
Wow. It's soap opera music, Robbie.
We have girlfriend problems. See, now there we go. See, that was written all over your face.
All right. You get the prize, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, I had a feeling
that's
just even
right.
Seeing him in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike Rockhead, what's the problem?
She might be listening. I don't know if I can go into it.
Come on, you're on this show. You got to let it all hang out, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's the problem? Is it something you've done, something she's done, something between the two of you?
Another man?
Or
no.
More other men? Plural.
What's the problem?
Come on, we bear our souls
she
on this show.
She might be listening, I don't know.
You just would dance around it.
Are you married to her yet?
No.
Excuse me, okay, hello?
Is it something that she's angered you in some way? Or is
have you angered her?
She's kind of irritated at me.
Uh-huh.
Is it because you can't satisfy her?
Sexually?
No, that's not it at
you
all. Trust me.
You can't make her feel like a woman? What have you done then? What have you done to get your girlfriend mad at you?
It involves some other girl and...
Like another girl that you've been making goo-goo eyes at?
Not goo-goo eyes,
Mike. Some of the parade of women that come through this studio?
Well, you know my reputation, so...
Oh, right. Oh, God, I know. Pardon me while I puke.
Is it a woman who your girlfriend is friends with? Is it one of her friends?
No, it's not.
Is it a girl
it's
who's...
someone I'm friends with.
Is she having trouble dealing with the fact that you're the best-looking man on this show?
according to him, he's
according
the best-looking man.
Yes,
right.
She doesn't like all the emails and phone calls I get because of that.
So this girl that your girlfriend is jealous about.
Right.
Is she a girl who has been on this show?
No.
So a girl from your real personal life?
Yeah, personal life, past, whatnot.
She call you a lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to each other a lot, I visit her a lot, things like that.
Do you still carry the torch for this ex-girlfriend?
She's not an ex-girlfriend. See, friends.
Do you ever bone her?
Friends, no. But hooked up once.
You hooked up once.
But never...
You didn't go all the way.
No.
You go to second base?
ish. Yeah, a little groping.
All right, say this.
So you're still interested in this girl as a she's a friend, but you have obviously a bond.
Just
with
a
her.
Friend, but you know those downtimes where you're in between relationships. You're both in between relationships.
Let me ask you about your relationship with the other girl. With the other girl,
okay. And you mentioned in between, so the current girlfriend is certainly not going to like the way you portrayed this relationship.
Did the other girl, the girl that's calling you now and getting your girlfriend mad,
right?
Did she ever give you the old
No.
You never received a Monica from her?
No, not at all.
Really?
No.
Therein lies the fantasy, perhaps, that because you have never had the forbidden fruit, you cherish that fruit, perhaps more than the fruit that you can sample daily.
So what did your girlfriend say to you about this?
She just wants me to stop calling her or calling her back or, you know...
Let me stop you right there. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Is there a chance that you would actually be able to pursue... Would you be interested in pursuing a legitimate, more extensive relationship with this quote-unquote friend?
Oh, he's not going to answer that now.
No, not at all, Mike.
Not at all?
No.
No.
How serious are you with this girlfriend you're with now?
Pretty serious.
How long have you been going out with her?
Off and on, almost 3 years.
Wow. You live with her?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That will not happen.
But this is on and off. So it's
right.
Has it been a turbulent relationship?
Not turbulent, just, you know.
When you've broken up, why have you broken up before?
Distance, stuff like that, you know.
Well, be more specific.
Were they sexual problems?
No.
Well, what kind of stuff?
I can handle my own, Mike. Quit going back to that.
Okay, right. Don't forget, Mike, he is the best-looking guy on the show.
Yeah, he's the super stud of our merry band of idiots.
So, if your girlfriend gave you this ultimatum to, you know, tonight, said stop talking to this other girl, why don't you just stop talking to the other girl? If it bothers your girlfriend that much, why don't you respect your girlfriend's wishes?
Because I've been friends with this girl longer than I've been going out with my girlfriend, and I feel, you know, a certain obligation.
Mike, I know she might be listening, but let's cut to the chase. Do you feel this relationship with your current girlfriend probably is going nowhere?
No. I very much love my girlfriend.
Then why wouldn't you acquiesce to her wishes? If you truly love her, why wouldn't you do this for her?
And if she truly loved me, she wouldn't give me an ultimatum.
You know, I can tell you, because I'm very in touch with my female side, as I always have been. Thank you, Don. If I was your girlfriend listening right now, I would be furious at you.
Furious?
Furious.
Why?
Just the whole way you're talking. You don't even know you're doing that. You don't even know, because it's the way you really feel, and that's what's coming through.
Sounds like you've got a thing for this other girl.
Absolutely.
It sounds like,
no,
the other girl is the ace in the hole, if you'll pardon the pun.
Or even worse, it might be neither one. It's just that you just want to fly away. You want to be the butterfly and fly.
Yeah, right. Why did you say you can't see ever living with your current girlfriend?
We've talked about it, but, you know, we just feel like she wants her space. I definitely want my space.
Uh-huh.
And we might drive each other up the wall right now if we do that.
Because he's such a Marlboro man and everything.
Yeah. He's
got to have his space.
Do you see other people? Do you see other people socially, sexually?
Meaning, do you date others, or are you exclusive with this girlfriend?
No, we're exclusive.
We're exclusive, but you're not real happy with that, are you?
No, I'm happy with him, Mike. Going down that road.
No, it sounds to me like maybe, you know, you're at a stage in your relationship where, you know, you might want to take a trip into the other farmer's field.
If, you know, you're going out with a girl for 3 years, that's a long time. You know, you should say, fine, I won't talk to the other girl anymore. And I understand that you think you're the best-looking guy on this show. But let me ask you, and you be honest about this. Let's say there was, because I'm going to tell you, first off, you're ugly. Okay, you're not good looking. But let's say that there was, I'm talking about a real
pot calling the kettle black.
And we're all ugly. We know it. We recognize the fact that we're ugly. You are having trouble dealing
with... You live
with
a fantasy world. You think you're a good-looking guy.
That's right.
Well, listen, I got this way. You're plenty ugly.
That's right.
You're a lot uglier than I am.
What am I being honest about here?
Okay. Let's say that there's a real good-looking guy, and I'm not giving you the fag talk. Who do you think is a good-looking guy? A guy you think Brad Pitt's a good-looking guy?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
One of those guys, a Johnny Depp type?
Yeah.
If a dude like that... Can you stop it, Mike?
I'm sorry. Thank you.
If a guy like that, Matt Damon, is calling your girlfriend all the time,
right.
And your girlfriend says to you, control yourself, Mike.
I'm sorry. You just had to go and mention Matt Damon.
But you know where I'm going with this. Let's say that this Matt Damon lookalike is calling your girlfriend all the time and talking to him. You're not threatened by that at all?
See, you don't not say if to they've her? Been friends for years, you know, since high school.
I don't believe
Young man,
that.
Let me tell you something about true love, okay? Let me tell you about relationships. They're all about sacrifice. 100% sacrifice. There are things you're not going to want to do. Yes, thank you, Rob. But there are things you're not going to want to do. But as Dom will tell you, he's been married longer than anybody. Well, Buzz has been married longer than anybody in this room.
Right.
You got to make sacrifices. You got to. Unfortunately, there are people you have to toss away if the person that you are going to make a life with is not happy with them. You have to make that sacrifice.
That's right.
Thank you.
We haven't made a decision yet if we're going to spend the rest of our lives together, though.
Ooh. Okay. Year in deep. He's
no. Year in deep. I can understand why you're upset.
I can understand why you're so upset today.
Yeah. I understand that.
Okay.
Decision's made now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure people want to talk to you now.
Okay.
And incidentally, you are not the best looking guy on this show.
not by chinny chin hair.
We all recognize our ugliness on this show, but you know, you are a member of that club.
I want to tell you something. You know who's more handsome than you are? Jim McClure. Okay.
Wow.
Really?
I say that. I mean that. Andy Rice is better looking than you are. Okay.
Jim McClure.
Right.
Oh, we're sorry.
Sorry, it's the truth, man.
Jim
McClure is a better looking man than you are.
This is why I like you when Mikey Rockhead comes in here. It's always like this.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to side with Rockhead. Don't give up your balls, buddy. I did it, and it's no fun. You regret it the rest of your life.
Are you married?
Yes.
Well, of course, you have to give up your balls when you get married.
I did it with my wife, and the girl I dated, you know, for like 5 years, we had broken up and just been the best of friends for like 5 years before she came along, and I hated this girl, and I always
it's normal. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I signed with Rockhead's girlfriend. 100%
It's totally normal. It's totally normal. There are women. There are isolated women. There are isolated men that can handle that type of stuff. It's the same kind of women say, hey, you go out all night long with your buddies. You want to go out and do this? There are certain types of women that can handle different things. If the woman can't handle it and you're in love with the woman, unfortunately, you got to do it that
Listen,
way.
Listen, there's that guy that called my wife. That guy that went to high school with my wife.
Yeah, you hated
it. I was ready to get in my car and drive to that guy's house and beat his ass.
A normal relationship.
Because he just called my wife. Up.
Absolutely.
We're not
it's
stalkers,
a big
though.
Pain in the patootie. All right. The whole time she's always going, well, have you heard from so-and-so? Do you know what she's doing?
That's
have
normal, too.
Her lately?
That's normal.
And it's terrible. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah, but it doesn't suck so much.
You should
have
been the one that gave her the ultimatum and said, hey, either live with it.
I hung up on that guy. Because there's a married guy who's trying to tell you to be a big man and tell your girlfriend to blow off.
Yeah, when he would never think of doing anything of the kind with his own relationship.
And it also sounded like he was also married to his sister in West Virginia. But
hello.
That's true.
Don and Mike show.
Dump the bitch.
Okay.
Dump the bitch. She's not going to like that.
Right? Don and Mike show. I don't like that either.
Hello. Hi, this is Mary in Greenville.
Yes,
and I
hello.
Think that Mike does not need to be dating the same person for 3.5 years without a commitment.
Here.
Rockhead.
That's a good point, man.
We are still young, though. I'm 24 years old. She's 23.
You're not that young. You know,
you're not ready to make that commitment.
Well, then maybe you need to find someone to
make
date
that commitment.
Or not date one person.
Mike, you've been dating her for 1/8 of your life. Put it in perspective. That's an awful long time.
Thank you, Brains.
Very good, Brains.
Thank you, Rob.
And
thank you.
Always brings mathematics into it. That's always it. Always helps his argument.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I just want to say that I agree with Don that the girl, she would probably be upset about that because, you know, I did that with my boyfriend, and you know, there was a guy that I really liked, and I had
four.
No,
Rockhead,
that is totally out of line.
Rockhead just called you a whore.
That is totally out of line.
I apologize
to this woman.
And I went we went to like elementary school and everything together. And I still like, and when I started dating my boyfriend, we've been dating for like 2.5 years now, and
He's not even listening to you. Thank you, though.
Just loving that he said that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Yes, hi.
How old is the Rockhead?
He's 24.
He's
24. You know, Rocket needs to look forward and never look back at 24.
Thank you, sir. I agree. Yeah.
Okay, that's somebody that's giving you his own advice.
Hello, Don on my show. Listen, I say do what you want, but I think really you should respect your girlfriend's wishes. If it bothers her, or at the very least, you know, hide it from her, man. Don't be so stupid as to call the girl in front of her.
Or make the decision that maybe it's time to pull the plug.
But she knows we've been friends forever, and when we hooked up, it was years ago, back in high school.
But maybe she, you know, maybe this reason that you are holding on to this other relationship is speaking to deeper issues.
And this other girl has a boyfriend as well. It's not like she's
happy.
You two, you and this other girl, you are mind effing each other. That's what you're doing. And I mean that literally. You're mind effing each other. That you both have this thing going.
Let me ask you, when you were 24, you guys didn't have friends that were girls? Buzz, no. I know you had many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but I was, you know.
I swear to God, I didn't.
I had lots of friends.
My only friend I had that was a girl was my wife.
It was important to me to marry a woman who could understand things like that.
I
wasn't jealous at the drop of a hat.
I had lots of friends that were girls, and I also had more friends that were girls than were guys, and I related to them better. No, thank you, Doc. I'm just kidding. That's not true. No, that's not true.
See, Buzz understands me.
I wouldn't go that far.
I was engaged to be married when I was 24. I was engaged to be married, and please take no, you know, don't take into account the fact that marriage failed.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, we got to do a break. Yes, sir.
You guys kick ass.
Right, thank you. Appreciate that. Hello, last call, Don and Mike show.
Hey, it's me. I'm still in Alexandria. I want to play the game.
Oh, the guy about the feud. Right, hold on a second.
The feud.
Hold on a second. Have you contacted any members of your family yet to ask them?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't heard from the girls yet. I've heard from one of the guys.
All right, hold on. We'll get all the rest of your information. Hold on a second.
The guy's like, I'll do it.
Okay, one last call, and then we're going to move on. Would you like to call her on the air? Rocket?
No.
I found that really helped my relationship.
No, with Don has used
that. She will not go for that at all, trust me.
Don has used that with his relationship to help him build his relationship, and I also will tell you this kind of a warning. He's the only man in America that can do that.
Hello, Deanna.
Hello.
Deanna, you're
Hi.
The last call. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling because my husband told me that no man can truly be friends with a woman without wanting something else.
That's absolutely right.
It is right.
Of course it's right.
He can get rid of all my guy friends.
Right.
Your husband's a dick.
Oh, Rocket.
Rocket, why do you say that?
Because
he's an idiot.
You wish you could be as big a dick as he is.
Why? Why do men have to fill women with these thoughts?
Because it's true. Men and women think totally
not
different.
Not at all.
Oh, please.
I think your girlfriend, that might be the one thing in this whole exchange that she enjoyed, you saying that to that woman.
If I wanted to bone this girl, I would have.
No, you've thought about it many times, and that's the problem. Your girlfriend knows that.
I haven't thought about it in years.
You wanted to.
Yeah, if you wanted to bone her, you could have.
You could have.
Because you're so strikingly handsome and all.
Dudley.
Right.
Well, exactly. You know, you probably are staying friends with her because you think she wants to bone you.
No. Ah, that's a good question.
I told you. I think they're both boning each other in their minds. I really do. It's
of
one of those.
Of course it is.
They're having sex without having sex.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And she probably, like your girlfriend, feels that quality that you require in a woman, which is a woman who makes you feel better looking than you actually are.
Exactly. You keep her around so she'll make you feel better. Like, you have a lot of women on a string.
Well, we've all hung out together as a group. You know, we all get along.
Well, why is your girlfriend so jealous then, if she's been included in everything you've done?
Well, I'm not included in everything, but, you know,
well,
we've all hung out together, but I've also gone to visit this girl. I think that's the problem.
You've gone to visit her.
Well, yeah, she doesn't live around here. I'm not, you know.
Where does she live?
From home.
Where does this other girl live?
Pennsylvania.
So you spend the night with her?
No.
What's that bit that you guys say about the priest that spends the night?
Is this the Amish girl that you sneak in and visit?
Don't come knocking, the buggy's rocking.
Rocking.
You're a mess.
Get rid of the girlfriend. I mean, get rid of the, you know, the extra girl.
He does like driving up to Dutch country, though, to bang some Amish girls on the weekend.
He
really does.
Absolutely.
You know, he gets him, he pulls out that safety triangle.
That's right.
It's all natural, though.
All right, thank
it's
you.
All natural, right? Battery. Mm-hmm.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Right, no shaving up there.
How'd you like to churn my butter stick? Baby, I'll raise your barn. Okay, listen, Rockhead, none of this would even have come up today if you wouldn't just, if you're having a problem, keep it to yourself. That's all.
All right.
and go back there and answer my telephones. Get me another family for this contest, please.
Okay, enjoy your day.
Cheers.
Cheer up for crying out loud.
Keep thinking you're good looking. Hey, you're Joe Rockhead.
All right.
Look at him.
There he goes.
Jesus Christ. I swear to God.
24. My God.
Is there an uglier guy that's ever worked here
Absolutely.
Than him?
No, I mean, he'd be good looking if you know you took that nose off and sent it away and had it remodeled.
He's so funny. He's so much better looking than we are.
I know.
Please. And listen, we're not good looking men, okay?
Right.
But I'll tell you right now.
Sure.
We are freaking Brad Pitt compared to Mike Rock. I mean that.
Everybody except Rob.
We'll be right back.
For an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, how do you be a good wife?
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
We've done this a couple of times, but I think it's been at least a couple of years since we've read this.
The first time I heard this, it's amazing to think that this was actually written for students' consumption, right?
From a 1952 high school home economics textbook. So this was for a book when girls went to school to teach them how to be a good wife. Okay?
This isn't funny at all.
No. It's hilarious. First item. I'm just going to read this to you verbatim.
All right.
Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal on time. This is a way of letting him know that you've been thinking about him.
Yes, him.
And are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home. And the prospect of a good meal is part of the warm welcome needed.
Hear, hear.
Now, I hope a lot of you ladies are listening to this next category.
That's right.
Prepare yourself.
Please.
Take 15 minutes to rest.
Sure.
So you'll be refreshed when he arrives.
If everything's done.
Touch up your makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair. And be fresh looking.
Fresh looking.
He's just been with a lot of work-weary people. Be happy and cheerful. And a little more interesting.
He's really been working.
His boring day may need a lift. Mike, I know you and I don't have this problem with our wives.
That's right.
But for all the other wives, listen carefully to the next little chapter. Clear away the clutter. I know, not in my house, and certainly
no,
not in your house.
Never, never at all.
Make one last trip through the main part of the house before your husband arrives, gathering up school books, toys, paper, etc.
Hope you're listening.
Then run a dust cloth over the tables. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order.
Sure.
And it will give you a lift, too.
Yeah, you'll be happy because he's happy.
Next, prepare the children.
Sure.
Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes.
Your father's coming home.
Remember, they are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part.
Of course. And that's your job, Mom.
I wish.
Oh, man.
Okay. Minimize the noise.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of his arrival,
mm-hmm.
eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum.
That's right. No noise.
Please. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him.
Yeah.
Greet him with a warm smile.
Mm-hmm.
And be glad to see him.
Yeah.
All right, now. Some don'ts.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
Giving you lots of do's here.
Yes, and now the don'ts are important, too.
I'd like to point out again that this is from a high school economics textbook circa 1952.
That's right. Girls were taught this in school.
And how come they're not anymore?
Aye, because the society is crumbling, that's why.
Some don'ts. Don't greet him with problems or complaints.
Please.
Don't complain. Was that Rob?
Yeah. That's Rob putting his meals together in the background.
Don't complain if he's late for dinner. Count this as minor compared with what he might have gone through that day.
Right. Amen.
Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or suggest he lie down in the bedroom. Have a cold drink ready for him. Arrange his pillow. And offer to take off his shoes.
Yeah.
Speak in a low, soft, soothing, and pleasant voice.
Can you keep it down, please?
Allow him to relax and unwind.
Ah.
All right, now here's one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one.
Yep.
Listen to him
Yes. Listen. Listen to him.
You may have a dozen things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time.
No, not the time at all.
Let him
talk
first.
If he wants to.
Okay. Two more. Make the evening his.
Right.
It's like some bizarro world, isn't it?
Make the evening his.
Never complain if he does not take you out to dinner or to other places of entertainment.
No, that's not necessary.
Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressures. Think about his need to be home and relax.
Right. Right.
And then finally, the goal. Try to make your home a place of peace and order, where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Buzz.
Bravo!
You know, we don't have a website.
Right.
But if we did have a website, that would be on our website.
The rules.
Yeah, how to be a good wife.
That's it.
That would be there.
The rules for all women, all wives.
At www.wearealldead.com. www.ourwivesdotheopposite.com.
Keep them quiet.
I don't go through right now. Here's, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I bet out of 8.
Right.
My wife will do at least 6 of them the opposite tonight.
Total opposite.
Right. Have dinner ready. That's the one that maybe she will have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. I would fall into that category, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prepare yourself.
Come on. Come on. Well, you know, I just realized as we're discussing this, you're 13 years of marriage.
18.
18. It always seems like 13. Your 18 years of marriage is serving you well right now. Because I'm realizing if, you know.
You're not going to say anything?
We're going to get, I'm going to get not even, so much trouble.
You're not even going to pipe in on clear away the clutter?
No. I tell you, I'm in the doghouse. Firmly positioned squarely in the doghouse today.
All right, well, I'll be up front then. Clear away the clutter.
There's never any clutter in my house. Never exists. Yes, of course. No, she doesn't clear away the clutter.
Prepare the children. Please.
Prepare the children.
Last night, my son sat down, and I looked at the bottom of his feet.
Right.
His feet were absolutely black. I said, You are filthy.
Right.
You are dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, Dad.
Yeah, come on, Dad. Back off.
Get out of here, Dad.
Minimize the noise.
Okay.
You've heard sometimes I call my house, I got my three dogs going.
Sure.
I called just today, got my wife yelling at my kid.
Please. Yeah. There's a steady din. I mean, you got 3 television sets on. I got dogs. I got a 4-year-old. I got a 2-year-old all screaming and, you know, various machines going on and a sandblaster at the same time.
Don't greet him with problems or complaints. Well, that means my wife will greet me with problems and complaints.
And, it should be pointed out that if you mention any of the things on this list.
Right.
That's really when the gates of hell will open up and then, you know, you're officially sucked in.
Don't complain if he's late for dinner. You know the number one complaint I get every night when I come through the door?
What?
I swear to God, come on. Well, look who's finally home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say to her, wait, you know where I am.
Yeah.
We did the show until 7:30 or quarter to late. And she'll say, well, your show's, I remember when your show used to end at 7 o'clock.
Oh, so the complaint is not that you're late. The complaint is that
I'm late.
The show itself is running late, and that's why you're late.
Right.
I don't get that. Maybe that's the 18-year thing. I don't get that because, you know, I blame it on you.
Well, I know you do. And it's all right. I'll take a bullet on that one.
I don't do that. I leave as soon as the show's over.
I'll take the bullet, but I get that. Okay, yep. How about this? Count this as minor compared with what he might have gone through that day. Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or suggest he lie down in the bedroom.
That would, I think that might fall into the category of never.
Yeah, right.
That'd be in the never category.
Mm-hmm. Have a cold drink ready for him.
Please.
I wish.
Yeah, so do I.
My father had my mother trained like that, where my mother would be waiting with his first martini when he walked through the door. My mother was petrified to speak until my father had his first martini. And then after he had the first one, she had the second one in the freezer, ready for him. It's like, we knew, don't talk to Dad until he's had his second martini.
Ready to go. Man. Here it is. Well, you see, I subvert that one because I have cold beverages in the car on the way home. You can't really overestimate a nice cooler.
Speak in a low, soft, soothing, and pleasant voice.
Oh.
I'm not going near that one.
No, me neither.
You may have a dozen things to tell him, but at the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first.
Not a chance.
Not going to happen. Never complain if he does not take you out to dinner or other places of entertainment.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I think that's almost universal for all married people around the... You know, if you're not doing your duty, you're going to hear about it. You're going to be fired.
I think my wife would just be happy if I came home one night and actually spent some time with it. Most times when I get home at night,
right,
I just go take my dinner and barricade myself in the other room.
And your wife is understanding in that regard, right?
Yeah, lots of times, yeah, really, to be honest.
It's kind of different.
You know, we've spent all day with each other anyway.
Right.
She don't want to see me either.
The thing is, I think on that list, I mean, there are certainly things that just aren't done like that anymore. But also, there are different things that aren't done, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, that, you know, where the dad's those traditional, that's in the traditional mode where the dad would come home,
right,
take his fedora hat off, hang it up, and then, hi, honey, sit at the dinner table where the kids would all be scrubbed, and, you know, it was an older time before the magic box, really.
No, I eat dinner by myself every night.
Do you really?
Yeah, well, my family doesn't want to wait till 8 o'clock to have dinner.
Right. I sit at the kitchen table with the TV on, and the kids are, you know, off playing, and I have dinner alone, too.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Aren't we pathetic?
Well,
we totally.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
I kind of like the company.
Yeah, right. TV's a good friend.
TV is the friend. It really is just me, a plate of food,
and your friend,
and the television.
And your best friend.
There you go. It's right there.
My best friend.
Well, I'll tell you right now, ain't life great?
Yeah. That's what you can look forward to.
Very, very exciting. And for all those people planning on getting married,
those couples coming down to jump in the mud on Friday.
Right. I don't think we're exceptions to the rule at all.
It's as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Buzz, you shut up. You know, Buzz is the one guy on this list that goes home and really gets most of that stuff done for.
You'd have candles, right? Candlelight and stuff, and sit down and have dinner together. A very high average. But see, I don't have the kids, so that makes it a lot easier for her to make life more comfortable for both of us.
he has the marriage.
Your wife is like your slave, Buzz.
No.
Please.
Would you go home to my house some night? Go home to the mess. Go home, and you know, and I'm petrified to say anything like, why is this place such a mess?
Right.
You know, I just come and go, hey, looks great, honey.
I mean, that does fall into the category of the gates of hell.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, you walk in, and if you walked in really and you said, man, this is a mess. I mean, then it's just
forget
like,
about
you
it.
Know, snow starts falling inside.
Forget about it.
Boy, hey, I didn't mean anything by that. I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn. It's been a very long day. I'm very, very sorry. Please don't get mad at me.
Don't hurt me.
No, don't hurt me. No, I didn't
don't
mean
hurt
it.
Me.
No, I didn't mean it. No.
House is lovely.
No.
No.
Ignore the fact that there are, like, dishes from Friday.
Oh, man.
They're still sitting out.
Fine.
Everything is beautiful.
Because you know the answer to that one. Well, why don't you clean it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the answer, right?
That's right.
Answer is, show me why don't you clean it up?
Because you've been playing all day.
Okay. There you go. That's the end of this.
Oh, man.
That's great. The end of this discussion.
There it is. I hated that segment.
We will be right back.
This is the dog.